Good morning and welcome to those of you who are here in the building and also those who are watching. We're happy to have you all together. Are there any announcements that need to be made? All right, this morning for our call to worship, we will be using the hymn, Jesus Be the Center. It's in your Sing the Storybook, number 31. And I'm going to ask you to rise as we sing. May remain standing for the opening prayer. Almighty God, your holy love descended to us in the person of Jesus. Christ's baptism revealed him to be your blessed Son. Christ's life revealed to us the way to your righteousness. Appoint us by your Spirit that we may live faithfully to your calling, and you may be known as love throughout all the world. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. We'll remain seated for this one. Number 124 in Sing the Story.
Thank you.
All right, the offering plate is at the back of the sanctuary. If you have not already put your offering in, you may do it at the end of the service. And if you need to send it, the address is on the bulletin. Let's bow for the offering prayer. Generous God, we thank you for all you have given us, for the big things, the universe, the earth, the land and the sea, for the beauty we see around us every day, the goodness and love we know in family and friends, for the gift of salvation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the small things, the pleasure we have when we accomplish a task, the thoughtful word we receive at just the right time. Accept the gifts we offer today, big and small, as tokens of our appreciation. Amen. Scripture for this morning is found in Luke chapter 3, 15 through 22. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork, and then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but turning the chaff and burning the chaff with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs that he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to the many others. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Okay, I invite Jenny to come and bring the message for us this morning. We're happy to have you and your two daughters with us today. So welcome.
Thank you and good morning. Good to see you all here, and I know all of you out there and up there. It's a joy to be with you here today to praise God as part of God's family. May the Holy Spirit who is in me speak through me to your open hearts. Today we're going to talk about family. That may make some of you happy, and it may make others of you cringe. For some of us, family conjures up wonderful images of love, mutual support, contentment, fun times, traditions, and cheerful togetherness. For others of us, family brings up feelings of conflict, abandonment, hard times, regrets, separation, or missed opportunities. For most of us, family is a mixed bag. Families are complicated, right? Our passages today speak of family, of belongingness, of the amazing things we can do together as disciples of God. Isaiah 43 tells us that God has called you, each of you, by name, that you are God's. God says, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. God calls us sons and daughters, and God loves it when we gather together as a family. The psalmist in Psalm 29 reminds us of the glory and power and majesty of the Lord. This is a declaration of who God is and what we inherit as God's daughters and sons, strength and peace. Luke tells us in the book of Acts how Peter and John were sent to Samaria, not one apostle alone, but two, to a community of new believers. Together, Peter and John go and pray, and they lay hands on the Samaritans, and they give them the Holy Spirit. That's incredible. God gives these believers the authority to go out together, to pray, and to give the Holy Spirit to others. Then we come to our passage in the Gospel of Luke, which is all about family, and specifically the power of family reunions. Luke begins with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. And when we were last together, I preached about the visitation of Elizabeth and Mary, who were cousins. This was a family reunion, not just of Elizabeth and Mary, but also of Jesus and John the Baptist, cousins meeting for the first time in utero. After this, John grows up, puts on his leather belt and camel hair getup, and he ventures into the wilderness and he's eating locusts and honey. And he somehow knows he must prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah, by baptizing everyone he meets with water and exhorting them to turn to God and never turn away. Finally, grown-up Jesus enters the picture. His cousin John has whipped everyone into a frenzy. People are longing for and expecting their Messiah, their anointed one, their Savior, to appear at any moment. And he does. Jesus has come to John to be baptized along with everyone else. And we might wonder why he would do this. I mean, why would God incarnate in the form of Jesus need to be baptized? Theologians and believers have come up with many reasons. But what we know for sure is at the moment of his baptism, Jesus was surrounded by a crowd of witnesses. Baptized believers who were primed and ready for their Messiah. And wow, did our triune God deliver. In this one scene, God makes it crystal clear about who the Savior, the Anointed One, is. He's right there in their midst. After Jesus is baptized, he rises up out of the water and he prays, and the heavens open up. And the Holy Spirit descends like in the form of a dove and lands right on Jesus. A dove, not an eagle, the symbol of the Roman Empire, a predatory bird that represents ferocity and power, but a lowly, gentle dove. The same kind of bird that Noah released after the flood that returned with an olive branch, a sign of new life and hope. The same kind of bird that the poorest of the ancient Israelites used as a sacrifice. Once the dove alights on Jesus, a voice booms down from the heavens. You are mine. I am pleased with you, and I love you. The crowd of witnesses, they see the dove. They see Jesus, and they hear the voice from heaven. The dove, Jesus, and the voice. This is the first time in Luke that we witness the three persons of our triune God, all together in one frame, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a divine family reunion. Then Luke 3:23 says, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. He was the son of Joseph. The passage goes on and on for many verses to outline the full human bloodline of Jesus. And if you think your family is complicated, Jesus's was a doozy. In Jesus's family, he's got David, a revered king, but also a probable rapist and murderer. He's got Noah, who did save humanity, but who also ended up drunk and naked in front of his sons. He's got Jacob, who wrestled with God and refused to let go until he was blessed, but who also duped his brother Esau out of their father Isaac's blessing. And the kicker is the last relative, Adam, who was the first human, but who also disregarded God, trusted the serpent, threw his wife under the bus, and in so doing, he botched pretty much everything for all of creation. What a family. The whole beginning of Luke is steeped in family, from Jesus' birth to his baptism, all in the context of this lengthy lineage. This genealogy is what is outlined right before Jesus ventures into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In other words, Jesus is ushered into ministry by family. Why would this be? Well, family is what gives us our identity, our genes, our history, our culture, our ethnicity, our people. Whether we were raised by biological parents or we're adopted, whether we're close to our families or separated by many miles, whether we have heroes or criminals in our genealogy or both, we all come from somewhere, from somebody. It's as if Luke is telling us that the only way Jesus could have done what he did to plant the seeds of a new creation as a new Adam was for his identity to be secure in who his human and spiritual family was. And just as important, for the crowd of witnesses, us as believers, to see and hear and know who Jesus was and where he came from in both the human and divine realms. And soon as the Gospel of Luke continues, we're going to understand that with that foundation, Jesus creates a new family, a family of believers. This is what we know about being a family of believers. Luke signals to us that as God's people, no matter who we are or where we came from, God can work in and through us, because we don't just have a human family. Like Jesus, we have a divine family with us all the time. Like Jesus, God communicates with us. Like Jesus, when we surrender our wills to God through the waters of baptism before a crowd of witnesses, heaven and earth meet and a family reunion happens. Like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is on us and in us. Like Jesus, God loves us and is pleased to have us in the family. Like Jesus, we are human and come from the imperfect seed of Adam, but also from the supernatural act of God through Sarah and Abraham, which began a new lineage and a new covenant. Like Jesus, we sometimes find ourselves in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And like Jesus, we gain strength from our identities as God's children to resist temptation and instead turn to God. And like Jesus, we are here to build the kingdom, to serve and to love one another. Yet we all know it's not that simple. Sometimes we get lost in the wilderness and we lose our way. We feel disconnected, lonely, unloved. Why? I mean, how can this be when we are God's children? How can this be when we have each other? In the book, Does God Really Like Me?, the authors Sid and Jeff Holzclaw say that after his baptism, Jesus is tempted to find his significance in what he does, what he has, and what people think of him. They note that before each temptation, Satan says, "If you are the Son of God." Satan is trying to shatter Jesus' identity, to break that connection with God the Father. First, Satan challenges Jesus to perform a miracle, but Jesus refuses to be the identity of what he does. Then Satan offers Jesus the kingdoms of the world, but Jesus refuses the identity of being what he has. Finally, Satan invites Jesus to throw himself off the temple, let the angels catch him in front of the crowds. But Jesus refuses to be the identity of what people think of him. The authors go on to explain that Jesus refuses to find identity in what he does, what he has, or what people think of him. Instead, he continually resists Satan's temptations by living into the words spoken over him at his baptism. He remembers that he is the Father's beloved, in whom the Father is well pleased. Jesus doesn't need any of Satan's tricks to confirm his identity. His identity in and as God readies him for ministry. So when we feel lost in the wilderness, when we lose our way, when we feel disconnected, lonely, unloved, we have forgotten who we are and whose we are and where we came from. How can we remember this when we forget? Take a moment right now, wherever you are, here in the church or at home. Look at who's in front of you or in back of you, to your left and to your right, or right here on the screen. That's how we remember. In Luke 3, 15 through 22, notice how many times the word "all" and "the people" are repeated. Imagine the scene. John the Baptist is with a huge crowd of people at the edge of the Jordan River. He's baptizing everyone, and they're asking him questions. He's doing his best to answer them and to give them good guidance. Luke says, as the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning, John answered all of them. He proclaimed the good news to the people. Now, when all the people were baptized. This is a community scene. These are the people of God. This is a church family. It is just like that, right here, right now. In this little house, something radical and subversive is going on. In a good way, in a Jesus-y way. Out there, you may sometimes feel lost, alone, unsure, and unloved, but here, together and with God, is where you remember who you are. Here together and with God is where we sing and pray and learn and love God and each other. Here together and with God is where you always belong. Here together and with God is where we immerse ourselves in God's word and come up out of the water renewed and strong and assured. Here together and with God is how we find our way through the wilderness. Here together and with God is where we nourish ourselves with bread and wine so we can do God's great work out there. Here together and with God is where we prepare to minister, to teach, to tell God's good news, to rid the world of evil, and to heal. Here together and with God is how we continually enlarge God's kingdom. After today's service, you will gather your things and go out there, and as we do occasionally, you may feel restless or full of worry or discontent or insecure or unfocused or overwhelmed or just less than great. Not really like the beloved child of God who you are. And when that happens, and it will happen because we are flawed and forgetful, here are some things to remember. Number one, get secure in your identity as God's child as part of this church. This is a church family. When you find yourself trying to find worth in what you do, what you have, or what people think of you, stop and remember that you are God's beloved in whom God is well pleased. You are that son, that daughter that Isaiah was talking about. You are precious in God's sight. You are worth saving, and God delights in accompanying you through life. Number two, if you're a believer who is not yet baptized, let this be the year. If you know and love Jesus and you want to experience something profound that will bring heaven and earth just a little bit closer together, surrender your will completely to God through the act of baptism and come up out of the water as a new creation. Then we can really get busy. We can do some big things. Baptism symbolizes your union with the believing community, where we continually hear and act on the truth of the good news. Like Peter and John, we can pray together, go together, heal together, and give the gift of the Holy Spirit together. Number three, give Jesus permission to search you, to give you a clean slate, to get rid of your chaff, to refine you into your best self, who God intended you to be. Do not be afraid of this process of refinement. It requires the discomfort of change, and it requires knowing that we and God are right there with you through that discomfort. It requires faith that you will be made better through God's holy power. It might even require you to pray what the author Craig Groeschel calls the dangerous prayer. God, search me, break me, send me. I can tell you firsthand that if you pray this earnestly, astonishing things will happen very fast. That prayer is the reason I'm standing here today. Number four, welcome others in. If you know someone who is curious about God and church, or who needs a good, wholesome Christian community to be part of, invite them into your life and into this church family. Don't worry about who they are, what their lineage is, or what their history is. Just be open, invite them, and love them. As God's imager, you can gather the sons and daughters from the ends of the earth. Here's the thing, though. You can't do any of these things alone. In fact, as a Christian, you are never alone. As a Christian, you are not a loner, a hermit, a recluse, independent, or a solo act. As a Christian, you are accompanied together with others, dependent on God, interdependent with one another. Part of a community in communion, and inseparable no matter how far you drive to get home, no matter how far you are away right now. You are a member of a family in a new kingdom that is being built by us with God as we speak. This is a family reunion right now, and it's very powerful. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that the more genuine and deeper our community becomes, the more everything else between us recedes. The more clearly and purely will Jesus Christ and his work become the one and only thing that is vital between us. We can only grow the kingdom in this state of family reunion. When the way of Jesus is all there is when God's kingdom has come, when God's will has been done on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Jenny. Let's turn in our Sing and Rejoice book, one we haven't used for quite a while, to number 31, God's family, and let's rise as we sing. The words and the music for this were written by Patricia Shelley, Patty Shelley, who originally grew up in this area, the Eastern District, actually Steinsburg. Let's rise. If you think of any others that you would like to include in this time of silence, let's come to the Lord in prayer. God, we do pray for those who I just mentioned a few minutes ago. We know that you hear and answer prayer in many different ways. We are asking for your help and your guidance for each one of these families. God, our deliverer, we remember how, by your loving hand, you led the sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah through deep waters from bondage to freedom, and marked them a holy people through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We remember John baptizing him in the water of the Jordan, the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and the offering of himself to free us from sin and death and to lead us to everlasting life. Once we were no people.
Now we are God's people.
Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us rise for the benediction. As members of the family of God, we renew our own covenant with God to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making known Christ's presence among us to the glory of God. Let us turn in our hymnals to number 226, You Are Salt for the Earth.